Glad you're here. What a day. We're off to a great start. You having fun this morning?
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to the men yesterday for our men's chili and wing cook-off. So great. We had over 50 guys out yesterday. Amazing. Travis, where are you, Travis? Where's Travis? Travis. He was here. Well, I'm trying to give a shout out to Travis, who set it all up and did a great job. So God bless you, Travis, wherever you are. I'm so excited about today's message because this is Vision Sunday 2020. And we have an opportunity to share some goals of what I believe God is wanting to kind of push with our church this year. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be wonderful. I do want to give a quick advertisement before I get into our message today about next Sunday. So next Sunday, it's Super Bowl Sunday to begin with, so we know that's good. Come on. Chief fans are in the house, maybe. All of us Cowboy fans are just like picking a team because we don't have a team in the Super Bowl. But so I'm picking the Chiefs. I'm just going to go ahead and pick a team. So it's going to be great. Next week, when you come to church, if you want to, we are saying wear a jersey next week just to have a little fun. And so I'm going to wear a Cowboys something next week. And I know you can boo me. I don't care. Haters can hate. I don't care. Haters are secret fans. Yeah, because we have your attention. That's right. Now you're like, what? Listen, next week, wear a jersey if you want. We're going to have a giveaway next week. Chicken wings we're going to give, not like the actual wings, but a gift card. So you can have a Super Bowl party. And so you want to come if you want to try to win that. That'll be awesome. But here's really what I'm trying to promote. Is next Sunday, mine and Harry's pastor is going to be here to preach next week. And I want you to come hear Pastor Frank Harvey preach. He has been our pastor for over 40 years. He has been preaching for over 50 years. Probably one of the most influential people in our life. He's a man of integrity, a man of character. And he will be here to speak next Sunday. And I'm so excited about him coming. And I want to ask you to do just at least a favor for us. When he comes to preach and he stands up here at the very beginning, I'm going to ask all of us to just stand up and clap for him to give him honor. Even if you don't know him, would you do it for us? Because we want him to know that we honor him and the gift of God and 40 plus years of influence in our life. And so do it for us if you don't know him. And then just it's just the right thing to do. So next week, let's set that up and just really enjoy next week. So that's my advertisement for next week. Amen to that? Amen. It's going to be great. Going to be great. Today we are on the last day of 21 days of prayer. So if you have been a part of that, which most of you have been, we had our 21 days of prayer book that we've been reading. Today was about answered prayers. And so I'm believing that all that you have prayed for 21 days, that God fulfills in your life. I had a friend text me this morning. He's a pastor in a church down in Charleston. And he sent me a text and he said, I believe that Life Church is on a history-making day. And so I don't even know what all that means, but I'm saying yes to that. But let it be a history-making day in your life. Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of breakthrough. Let today be a history-making day in people's lives, Lord. Let it be that way in our church. We love you, Lord, and we're so glad to be here. We're so glad to be able to worship a living God, a God that cares for us, a God that hears us, a God that answers prayers, a God that is close to us. And God, I ask that your living word would be preached out of here today in a way that encourages us, helps us to see down the road with what you want us to do as a church. So Lord, let this be a day where your voice speaks louder than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to take you to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus shared this story at the end of what was a long sermon. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. And this was his final way of encouraging those listeners that day to hear his words and put them into practice and build a strong foundation. So about 25 years ago, Harriet and I lived in this little mountain house, and it was near a company that would blast into the mountain, and they would use dynamite and explode out on the side of the mountain rocks. And then they would take those rocks, and then they would grind them up and use it for road and gravel and things like that. And so our house kind of sat on the other side of the ridge of that. And every time they would blast out, it would shake our house. And so eventually they shook our house so much that they had to buy our house because of the damage they did to our house. And so, but kind of part of the story I want to share with you is there was this time that a crack kind of formed in the ceiling of our house. And so we had a gentleman that used to work for our dad, Ray, came over to our house, and I said, Ray, can you fix that? And he said, well, I'll paint over it. So he painted over it and patched it up. And then, you know, like a few months later, the crack was back. And so I called up Ray, and I said, Ray, the crack is back. And he came and looked at it, and he said, yeah, there it is, you know. And I said, well, I have a problem here. I have a crack problem. And he looked at me. I mean, you know, that's kind of funny. Not that kind of a crack problem. But I had a crack problem. And he looked at me and he said, no, you don't. You don't have a crack problem. And I looked at Ray and I looked at that crack and I said, I see the crack. And I said, you see the crack. I said, all of God's children see the crack. I said, I've got a crack problem. And he goes, no, you don't. He said, I'm not saying I don't see the crack. He said, but you have a foundation problem. And he said, I can paint that 50 times, and it's going to come back, because all we're doing is patching the problem and not fixing the foundation.
Yeah.
Our country has a crack problem. Right. Now, I don't mean drugs, but yes, drugs. But there are cracks in our culture. There are problems in our culture. There's division from race to politics. Our culture struggles in marriages and in so many different ways we struggle. And our culture has a crack problem. And there are a lot of great people who are trying to solve the problems in our culture. But all they're doing is patching the ceiling, and they're not fixing the foundation. Many people in their lives live their entire lives trying to patch up their lives. Problem here, problem there. And so they try to patch it up, paint over it, but they never fix the foundation. And we have to fix the foundation before we can fix the cracks in our life. And that's why I read to you Matthew 7, 24 and 27. Because in this story, we have two men that had similar issues, and they had different ways of approaching how they fixed those issues in their life. And so let me just tell you a few similarities about these two men that were in the story that I read that Jesus told. First of all, both of these men had the same dream. They both wanted to build a house. They wanted to build something that would be part of their life. You know, a house is so much more than just a structure. It's where you build your life. It's where you raise children, and that's where you do life. And so I think we could interpret that both of these men wanted to build a great life. The next thing we know about both these men is they were both followers of Jesus. They were both following Jesus, heard the words of Jesus. In other words, they went to church together. They probably sat together. We might sometimes assume that all of the stories of Jesus are about those who are lost and those who are saved, and so the lost have problems and the saved don't, and that's not this story. This isn't about sin and righteousness. They both are followers of Christ. The third thing we see about these guys is they both had problems. They both had storms in their life. And I hate to kind of dump this on such a fun day, but you're going to have problems in 2020. Bummer, huh? But it's true. We all have problems. Both of these men had issues. It says that they had the storms and the rains came into their life. Regardless of whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, the rain finds us all and rains on us all. We don't have to look for problems. They look for us. They're coming. Troubles and struggles are common to us all. The difference, though, with these two guys is how they approached their life. That's where the similarities of these two guys ends. The Bible says that Jesus made the comment that one of the men were wise, one of the men were foolish. Wise men and foolish men. What made one man wise? What made one man foolish? It wasn't their titles. It wasn't their opportunities. It wasn't their dream to build a great life. They both wanted a great life. It wasn't that both didn't hear great words of Jesus. No, the difference was between the wise man and the foolish man was everything to do with what they built their life on, the foundation of their life. The wise man built his house on a rock. The foolish man built it on sand. A wise man built his life on a strong foundation. If you were to go to any city that has skyscrapers, and you would see maybe them building a brand new skyscraper. And if you were to look at the pre-construction phase, the first thing they do is they dig out a ginormous hole for a deep foundation. You can somewhat determine how high the skyscraper is going to be based on how deep the foundation they dig for the building. The depth determines its height. The depth of your foundation in the Lord will determine how high you can go in the Lord. And so we need a deep foundation. You see, a lot of people, they want a skyscraper life. They want a skyscraper marriage. They want a skyscraper business. They want a skyscraper everything in their life, but they're not willing to dig a deep hole. They're not willing to dig a deep foundation. You know, you cannot put a skyscraper on a chicken coop foundation. It will not stand up. And a lot of people are wanting the skyscraper, but all they've invested is a chicken coop. Let it not be for us here at Life Church. Amen. So our church has shaped our vision around a way for you to dig a deep foundation for your life. Honestly, I don't know that I can be a great business coach for you. I can give you a few tips here and there. I'm not even sure I can fix your marriage. I don't know that I have all the answers that you're going to need in every sphere of life. I don't have all those answers. But God didn't call me to fix everything in your life. He told me to help you dig a strong foundation so that you will have what you need to build your life on. Because all of you have a different calling, a different way of doing life, a different unique something in your life. And I don't have the time or the expertise to sit and figure out your life and say, well, you need to build your structure to look like this. But I can help you build a strong foundation. And that's why we have a vision that builds a strong foundation in your life. Our vision statement is this: Life Church is helping you find life in Jesus. Helping you find life in Jesus. I like the book of Psalms, chapter 89, 26. It says, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. The rock. I mean, like, that's the foundation of your life is built on Jesus Christ. Our church must be focused on helping people find life in Jesus. I appreciate all of the different ministries or maybe government resources and support agencies in our city. They work hard to help people. I appreciate the agencies that help support financial needs in people's lives and try to help people who are homeless. So many great organizations and so many great things going on. But if we don't do our part as the church, then all they're going to do is put patchwork on people's lives, because the church is called to help people find the rock of their salvation through Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be a city full of patchwork. I want to be a city that is built on the rock, and it takes the church to bring the salvation of Jesus Christ to every person. You matter. You matter to me. You matter to others. You matter to your family. Everyone in this room matters. Your life matters. Your marriage matters. Your children matter. Your education matters. Your job matters. All of you matters. Everything about your life matters. And the best way for us to help you is to help you build a strong foundation on Jesus, the rock of our life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we want to make it real practical for you on how to process and build a strong foundation. And so we took our vision statement, helping you find life in Jesus, and we broke it into five ways for you to build a strong foundation. And so today I just want to remind you of how we help you build that strong foundation in your life. And so we have five purposes that we help everyone build a strong foundation in their life. And the first purpose for us is evangelism. Evangelism, how we help you begin a relationship with Jesus. We have a strong purpose to help people begin a relationship with Jesus. We want that for our city. We want every person that comes in these doors to hear the message of hope through Jesus Christ. That's why at the end of our services, we try to always have an opportunity for people to say yes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want to change the city. We do it one life at a time by helping them build a strong foundation through Jesus. That's why we invest heavily in outreach in our church. That's why we love to have evangelism bridge events to reach people all over our city. That's why we have such a friendly volunteer serve team at our church. We do that because we want to be extremely welcoming, so when someone walks in these doors, they feel loved, they feel accepted, they feel like they found a home to be in, and so then when someone comes into this environment, they hear the news about Jesus, they say yes to Jesus. Every person that gets saved in this building gets credit for it. There's no one that has a better, bigger, more important role than all the roles put together. So the person that serves coffee, to the person that helps, you know, serve you out in the parking lot, to all the life group leaders, to every person that serves in this church, you are part of the evangelism efforts that happen here on Sunday. We all play a role. To the people that set up the structures here, there were people who came in at 6 a.m. this morning to put all this together for us. They don't do it because they just like to come at 6 a.m. They do it because they want to see people find life in Jesus. Amen? So our first priority, our first purpose is through evangelism. The second purpose we have for all of us is worship. And worship is how we help you make Jesus the center of your life. I love to worship. I love today. All glory and praise to Jesus. When you're worshiping, now, one of the things that you ought to do when we come together and we begin to sing and worship is starting to tune out the rest of the day and the rest of life and laying down the stresses so that you can just get your eyes on Jesus. Worship is a great way for us just to get our eyes on Him. Focus on Jesus. And so we worship Him. Everything we do on Sunday, though, puts your eyes on Jesus. Everything that we do is a way of worship for you. And when you come to church on Sunday, it's a way for you to demonstrate that you are prioritizing Jesus first in your week before you head into anything else. Worship. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm just too busy to come to church most of the time. And I would just like to say politely to those folks, and it's not you because you're here, so I'm preaching to somebody else. But you know, those that say, I'm just too busy. Well, all I would like to say is, in just a polite way, that you're probably trying to build your skyscraper life on sand. And so we want to help people. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, not you, as some people do, and let's encourage one another. And so we should encourage each other. You should come here and be encouraged by people around you. You ought to be a great encourager. You ought to come here determined, I'm going to lift somebody up, build somebody up. I'm going to encourage somebody. Listen, you ought to leave church like happier, healthier, more on fire for God, and more encouraged than any other time in your week. Why would you not want to come to a church where everybody's going, you're awesome? Like if someone hasn't said you're awesome today, you're awesome. You look good. You're beautiful. You're handsome. Listen, be encouraged. How do you get encouraged? You come together. We worship together. The third thing we purpose as a church is to grow. We need to grow in our spiritual life. We need to grow in faith. We do it by worshiping here together, but we do it in a personal, private, devotional way. One of the reasons that we did the 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer and we gave you a book was to help give you tools and resources so that you can begin to pray and experience God on a personal level. We need to know God. I need to know God for my own life. I need to be able to go into my day and know that I have spent time with the Lord and He is speaking to me. He wants to speak to you. And so we learn to do that through our private devotions. And so we want to help you grow so that you can have a strong faith for your life. Amen? Our fourth purpose is community. Community is how we help you connect with a community of believers. We need one another. God wants us to be part of a big family. That's why we say welcome home, because a home, it's like a big family. We want you to be part of a big family. I believe everyone needs friends in their life to encourage them. I believe everyone needs friends in their life to help be guardrails in your life. We all need each other. We need people in our life to help be a part of our life, to encourage us, and to help us live a godly life. On Sunday, I think it's a little bit difficult to be known and to know others. Now, I like the way we do church. I like it. We take, a full 20 seconds to high-five somebody. Awesome. But listen, that's not digging deep with a friendship. That's just a, hey, what's up? But you need to dig deeper in friendships. And that happens in two ways for us. Through our community groups. I'm sorry, our life groups. That was like a way back. Life groups. And today, I just want to give a quick advertisement. When you walk out the doors today, all our life group leaders have their tables set up out there. You can go learn about those groups and get plugged in today so you can build community in your life. Awesome. Eli, do you know how many are currently signed up in our life groups? Over 110. That's awesome. That's really good. How many groups do we have? 22. Hey, if you're a life group leader and you're here, would you just raise your hand? Are you here? That one, two, look at you guys. I love you. Listen, you're heroes for us. You're heroes. And the reason you do it is because you understand the significance of helping people build this foundation in their life, and I appreciate you so much. Another way for you to build community is through our serve teams. And so we would love for you to sign up to serve in our church. I mentioned a minute ago all the serve things we do because it's important that we work together. And so we build community. Our fifth purpose for our church is how we help you discover your purpose. Everybody has a purpose in life, and it's exciting when we know how to live out our life on purpose. I think some point in your life you need to ask the question, why am I here? What on earth am I here for? Why did God leave me here on earth? Because He could have saved you and brought you home, and that wouldn't have been great. But listen, He has a purpose for you. There's a purpose for your life here. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. In other words, He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. He wants you to do stuff for Him. He has a plan for you, and He planned it out a long time ago for your life. And so it's important that you find your purpose in life. Those are five foundations. Personally, I believe if you build your life on those five foundations, then you can build a skyscraper life for you. I want a skyscraper life. I want to see God do great things through my life, but I want to see Him do them in your life. Listen, our staff and our leadership team, we're here to help you build a great life. And we just are making opportunities for you. No one can make you do it. No one can say, dig. That's not our job. We're here to say, here's an opportunity for you to dig a deep foundation so you can have a skyscraper life. Amen? So how do you do that? Let me just give you three ways that you can help dig a strong foundation. First, our next step classes. So we have a series of classes that will lead you through the process that I just talked to you about. Our first class, which is on the first Sunday of every month, it's during the 11:15 service. It meets upstairs. And so if you are new to Life CC, this is a great place to learn about our church, how to get involved. This is a place to learn about our ministries. And so it's a great place to learn so much about our church. At this class, we emphasize the need for worship, the need for coming to church and gathering together. And so we encourage you, if you're new, sign up for that class, because that'll give you a great way to find out more about our church. Our next class, Next Step Class 2, is our Grow class. This is a class where you're going to learn about personal devotions. We have resources for you. It's a great place for you to learn how to dig deep in your walk with God. And so that's the Class 2. And then Next Step Class 3 and 4 is about purpose. And in this class, you're going to have an opportunity to learn about your personality. You'll learn about your spiritual gifts. We have a spiritual gift test. We'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so many great things happen in that class to help you find your purpose. And then we actually lay hands on you and commission you to live out the purpose God has for you. And so it's a great class structure for you to go through. And so we want to encourage you, your first step as a church is to go through these classes. Now, if you've been through them, you know how great they are. If you've been here for a long time and you're thinking, do I need to go through these classes? I encourage you, yes, because I think you should always be working on your foundation. So I would circle back through those classes and allow your foundation to dig deep. If you're new to us, perfect place to begin. Amen. Second step, join a life group. We want you to get plugged in today, right outside. You can begin building that community in your life. And then third, you can join a serve team. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's our vision. Hope I've refreshed your heart to be a part of what God's doing here. Amen? Now I want to share some goals for 2020. I think every year God says, hey, here's some specific things for you to focus on. And so I want to share a few goals that we have so you know how to participate with us. And so we just want to share this with you. And so the first goal for us is to begin construction on our new building.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen to that. I love it here, but I don't love it here. All right, so like I am so grateful for here. Like First Baptist Church, you know, renting us facility for us, and we get to gather here. And I love it. I love it. But one day I look forward to having carpet or something on the floor that doesn't look like a basketball gym. I look forward to you having a chair a little more cushiony, you know, so while I'm preaching, you can settle in. I'm looking forward to a permanent sound system that creates the perfect dBs and the perfect quality of sound. And I mean, listen, I appreciate our tech team. You guys are amazing. The work you have to do, listen, you have no idea unless you've watched them try to get this room to sound halfway decent. You have no idea the work they're doing. And the days that it doesn't sound perfect, don't look at them. Just know they are giving it their best shot because we're in a gymnasium and we set all this stuff up every morning and we take it down and sometimes you plug it in and for some reason it just sounds different every Sunday. And so I appreciate it. But one day we're going to have a building that we don't have to set it all up and we'll have it just perfect and you're going to walk in and go, wow! I love it here. I'm looking forward to the construction of a new building. And so here's where we are. Let me just give you a little update on where we are. First of all, if you're new to us, we have purchased 17 acres of land for our church. I love that we have land. We have dirt. We own dirt in Wilmington. There's not a lot of land left in Wilmington. So to have land is amazing. Our land is located, let's see how to tell you. So if you go Independence, you go by the Point Theaters, you know where that is, cross over Carolina Beach Road, just before you get to like River Lights and all that. On the right, there's some new apartments that have been built there. If you've ever driven, you see the big new apartments. We have 17 acres right behind it. Prime property. It's amazing property. I know a couple of you live in River Lights, so God bless you. We're coming your way. But it's an amazing piece of property right between so much growth going on. I'm so encouraged by our generosity. We paid off all that property. So it's paid for. It's done. It's amazing. And so... so what do we need? What do we need to be able to begin construction? Well, we need $4 million. So we're going to take up an offering. We do. I'm not kidding. We need $4 million. So how do we get to $4 million? So because it takes a lot. Now, and let me tell you, we started this whole project at like $6 million, and we're shrinking it down so we can hurry it up and get it done. But how do we get to $4 million? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, we're in the middle of raising $300,000, and that's a nice step for us. That's a doable step for us. And so our first goal is to raise $300,000. Why? Because we have to put all the building designs together. We have to do all the engineering of all the property and all the infrastructure. So what we have to do before we can even get a bid, we have to understand where the power lines are going to run and how they're going to go through the wetlands and how do you cross a wetlands area. We have to know where, how much pavement it's going to take to put a road in. We have to know the sewer lines and the water lines and the fire hydrants and all the sidewalks and the retention ponds. All that has to be figured out to get a price for us to know what it's going to cost to build. And so we need $300,000 for all of that work to be done. So good news is we have a head start on it. Here's where we are right now. So our balance, I can't see it. Well, there it is, $114,000 right now. So that's great. So we're not quite halfway, but we've made progress. So if you are feeling generous, you can help us pay for this. That's our first goal before we have an opportunity to get the bids done for all our property. And so once we get this, we'll start the process and we'll see at that point what the banks will loan us and we'll find out how much that is and then we'll shape that to our building and all that'll happen. I just want you to know, though, I have a sense of urgency to move us. Not because things are bad here, I just feel like it's time. I just like, God, move us forward. And so I'm just declaring by faith that in 2020 that we're going to take a huge step. We're going to pay off this initial part. And Greg Redden, who is our executive administrator, he and I meet all the time. And I'm like, Greg, we got to hurry this thing up. And so we're pressing. There's a sense of urgency. I'll just say we have a little hustle in our heart to make this happen. And so we're just believing that part of our goal this year will be, we'll accomplish that goal. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
So that's where we are. Perfect. Our second goal for 2020 is through evangelism and outreach. We began to pray about this kind of late last year, and we felt like the Lord was prompting us as a church body to take new opportunities when it comes to evangelism and outreach through our church. And so if you'll remember, we went into December with a Heart for the City offering, and we asked you to give to this offering. And this offering, we decided, would 100% of the funds that came in for this offering would go back out to outreach into our city and into other organizations in our city so that we can bless our city and do more through outreach. And so I've been holding how much we collected because I wanted to tell you today. And so I'm so proud of our church. So in one offering on the last Sunday of the year, you gave, I gave, we all gave, and here's our month, $22,800 in one offering that goes to our city. That's amazing. Y'all gave a little golf clap. Like, that's like, wow, that's amazing what you did. So thank you so much for that. And so let me tell you how we're going to use these dollars through our church. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to use these funds to help fund three major outreach projects for our city. And so the first big one is the extravaganza. Who remembers last year's extravaganza? Man, we're going to take it and make it bigger and better. You know where Pastor Gina went? She here? Hey, I'm going to say something, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me. Did we get the baby chickens?
No.
Okay, sorry. Well, let me tell you what we're trying to do. So that was totally not said. But we may still, we're going to try to find baby chickens, and we're going to give kids, they can win a baby chicken this year. So, well, I don't know what they're going to do with it. They'll love it. They're going to take a chicken home. It's going to be great. Hey, nobody else in the city is giving away chickens. We're going to give away baby chickens. It's going to be great at the extravaganza. It's awesome. All your parents are like, what are we going to do with a chicken? We'll figure it out. The extravaganza is going to be great. The extravaganza is going to be great. Yeah. Hey, we have two other events coming up through the year, one during the summer, one in the fall. As we get closer, we'll share more about that. The second thing we're going to do with that $22,000 is we're going to bless 13 organizations in our city with $1,000 apiece. And so we're going to bless some organizations that help serve our city. And so here's how we're going to do it. And this may be the thing I'm excited about, what we're doing as anything, is through our life groups. 13 of our life groups are going to talk together and pray about where they want to give the $1,000. And so we're going to say to those 13 groups, you all talk about this. You come up with a group in our city that you want to support. And then we're going to have a banquet. And so let's say life group number one says we're going to support Vigilant Hope. That's our ministry. We want to help. And so life group number one is going to call Vigilant Hope and say, hey, we have a special treat for you. We want to make a donation to you, and we're going to invite you to a banquet. And so one of their representatives is going to come to the banquet with our life group leader, and they're going to be at this beautiful banquet we're going to have for them. And then in this banquet, we're going to present to each of these groups $1,000, and it's going to be on behalf of that group and the members of that group. And so then they're going to lay hands on that leader, and they're going to pray for them, and we're going to bless them. And so through our groups, we're going to bless 13 organizations in our city. So it's going to be great. So that's my pitch, though. If you want to be part of finding an organization to bless, you got to be in a group.
Yeah.
That's a good sell right there, buddy. So go out there and join a group, and we'll be able to bless our city. And the last thing today I want to do is empower our entire church to be others focused. I want to empower all of us to do some sort of a random act of kindness, something that helps all of us be engaged in reaching our city. I think that sometimes we count on like the corporate body to represent outreach for us, when I believe God has called each of us to do something in our neighborhoods, in our offices, and in some way that we should do something that reaches our city and our friends. And so we just talked about as a staff, and we want to do something so outrageous that you would never forget the importance of outreach. And so we came up with a great idea today, and we're doing what we call a reverse offering. What that means is we're getting ready to give you money so that you can go do something outreach with it. Will our ushers come forward real quick? We have envelopes. Where are you guys? They're coming. Awesome. Come up to the front. Start passing out these envelopes. Let me tell you what we're getting ready to do as they come forward. In the envelope, it's sealed. Don't open it up. By the way, start passing them out while I'm talking. Don't wait on me. Pass those down. Pull one out per person. There's money in there. Now, you don't know how much money's in there. There's either $5 or $10 in every card. And so what we want you to do in a little while, open your envelope, and you'll see in there some money. And we want you to use that fund, those monies, those dollars, to bless people somehow, some way with that, and to start a ground movement of outreach through our in our city. And so we have a couple rules for you. It's on the back of your envelope. And let me just read the rules of this. Number one, don't give the money back to the church. I will tell you, by the way, that someone funded this for us. Someone put this in. I talked to one of our kingdom builders, and I said, would you be willing to fund this for us so this doesn't come out of our offerings? Someone said, I love the idea, and they funded this for us. And so don't give it back to the church. It's not for us. It's for our city. We have a heart for the city. Money cannot be spent on yourself or your family, all right? So we didn't just buy you coffee. That's not for you. And number three, think big and don't limit what God can do with a little. God can do a lot with $5. And so let me give you some ideas how you can use this money to impact your neighborhood, your friends. So one of the things you may want to do, maybe you go to the coffee shop regularly. And so you've got $5 and you want to pay for the person's coffee behind you. And you can say, hey, listen, I just wanted to do something kind and nice today and bless you. And so you can start something kind and nice that way. Maybe you want to buy a small gift for someone. Maybe it's coffee. Coffee's probably the best way to bless anybody. And take it to your office or your school, or take it to your teacher and bless them. Maybe it's a $5 gift card from Port City Java and give it to your teacher. And so you can do something that blesses someone that way. I want to encourage you, though, don't give it to someone that's already plugged in church somewhere. If you sit around with your buddies and you talk church all the time, don't give it to them. Find somebody that's not talking church so you can bless them. So one of the things you can do is just take a gift to someone. I remember one time we did this before, and someone, maybe an us, I don't remember, but we get the cookie dough? Were we the cookie dough family? So we got cookie dough, we baked cookies and took it out to our neighbors. It wasn't us. So somebody did that. But listen, you can, it's a great idea. So, y'all having fun today? Hey, get cookie dough, bake cookies. Everybody loves cookies. Take it to a neighbor, tell them you want to bless them and do something kind. I heard about one family one time who took their children to Costco, and they let the children pick out different supplies that would be useful for someone who is homeless. And so they got toothbrushes and gloves and different things, and they put five little bags together. And so when they ran into someone in the community that was homeless, then they would give them this pre-made bag on behalf of their children, and so they blessed others. So that's one way you can do it. Another thing you can do is you can get together with your life group, pool your dollars together. Maybe you have 50 bucks and you come up with a way to multiply that so that you can bless some people in your community. So, amen, church. Amen. We want you to do something great. We want to inspire outreach through our church. This will be a great thing. In your envelope, when you open it up, there's a card in there. And if you would tell us through your card what you have done to bless our city, what you've done to have a heart for the city. And so you can bring that card back with what you wrote, what you did, drop it in the offering when it comes around, or you can just go to our email and send us an email and let us know. We want to hear the stories because we think God's going to use this to impact lives. Amen? All right, church, we're going to pray for this, and then I'm going to let you go today. Would you do me a favor and stand to your feet? Get your envelope. We're going to do two things. First thing we're going to do is pray over these envelopes. Pray God uses our church this year. And then we're going to recite the declarations that we went through last week. So let's raise our envelopes up. Father, we ask that you would use our hands to be your hands. Father, we ask that we would take these small amounts of $5, $10 and multiply it to impact someone's life. God, help us to use this to bridge a conversation with someone while you're being kind. Lord, we ask that somehow, some way, that you would take this and multiply it in our city so lives will be changed, God. Lord, help us as a church to be more focused on our city and reaching our city. And so, Lord, we love you. We bless you. Use every person to be your hands and feet, Lord, in the city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to close with two declarations. We're going to say them together. So let's say this together. One, two, three. I declare incredible blessings over Life Church, its ministry, staff, and all who call Life Church home. I declare we will see an explosion of God's goodness, a sudden widespread increase of grace. We will experience the surpassing greatness of God's favor. It will elevate us higher than we've ever dreamed. I speak spiritual growth, passion, and momentum over our church for 2020. Come on, give that a great clap. Woo! One, two, three. I declare Life Church will help people find life in Jesus. God's vision for us to grow and become a church of 1,000 is right in front of us. I declare our password, Life 1,000. This is our year of breakthrough in numbers of salvations, people finding freedom, attendance, and finances. I declare that we will have every resource we need to build our new building. I declare God's going to do more than we ask or think in 2020. Church, God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.